Hello, hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope you're doing well, having an incredible day. So about a month ago, I created a podcast and a YouTube video on my decision to start in private practice. This was a long and hard decision, but it was mainly driven by three things. First of all, I miss the work. I miss being in the therapy room. Second, I feel like it's really wise to have a clinical arm for my business, especially with AI, and there is so much innovation happening in the startup space and in Silicon Valley with mental health startups. And it just seems really smart for me to have a clinical arm so I can test before recommending products and services. And the third reason is to really strategically diversify income, especially as we move further away from the pandemic. I feel like we're in such a different season now. And maybe it's just because I'm 42, but I've been trying to think a lot about this concept of decades versus days as an entrepreneur. And I forgot to mention something in that episode. And one of the things I'm also thinking about is that I think starting in private practice is going to lead to some unique opportunities that can arise in 5, 10, or 20 years that I think I may have opportunities with if I don't do private practice, but I just think there's some interesting things that can compound. So for example, having the ability to sit on boards of startups, being able to do angel investing, which is basically investing in early seed startups before they go public, right? Writing a book or launching a course for non-therapists, something outside of primarily what I do for STC. So I'm trying to think of a lot about these things. And to be completely honest, since then, I've gone through a really hard few weeks as a business owner. I've dealt with some pretty bad bouts of anxiety, as well as insomnia and even some bouts of depression. And well, before I go too deep into that, I don't want you to worry about me. I'm doing all of the things that I try to tell folks, you know, when in the clinical setting, which is I'm seeing my own therapist. I have been for the past couple of years. Shout out to Dr. V if you're listening. And I also got a Verilux Happy Light. So especially during these winter months, I noticed that my mood also tends to kind of dip. And we've definitely had a lot of cold, kind of rainy, dreary kind of days here. I'm also doing things like saunas and daily hikes and taking opportunities to connect with friends and with family and meals together and all of these things. But despite all of that, it's still been a really, really hard season. And I think it centers on two things. One is I have this persistent kind of worry that I'm just kind of navigating about managing two businesses. I worry that it's going to be too much trying to manage Selling the Couch and private practice, whether I have the fortitude to be able to do it or even if I'm wired to be able to do it. I think I am, but you know, again, because it's in this early stage, I think my default is to just panic and be like, no, can't do it all. So that's something I'm definitely just kind of navigating. And I also worry, again, that just at a practical level, again, as someone just getting started in private practice and that I just won't get clients. I know you're probably listening to this and you're like, Mel, you are such a fool. Like, stop thinking that way because, you know, you've got the podcast and you've done all these things, but it's just a real fear that I have. And it's something I still have to do some work around because I do notice, like a side note on this, I do notice that I have this tendency to imagine a worst case scenario happening. And in a weird way, I use it as motivation to try and work really hard. But I don't think it's the most beneficial because it leads to a lot of the things I just mentioned, the anxiety, the insomnia, feelings of inadequacy, of like low self-worth, all of those kind of things. The other thing I just kind of, in a weird way, I have this fear that I will actually be too successful with private practice and that I'll have to make some significant decisions with STC. So whether that is reducing what I'm doing for STC or potentially shutting down STC, I don't imagine that, but I don't know. Like, so I have this weird fear again. I don't say it as to be arrogant or anything like that. And it's actually then opposite. It's just this real fear that if I set my mind to something, is this thing going to succeed and do well? And now I've worked so hard to get out of sort of the trading time for income model of, and then am I like going back to that, but also in the same thing of like, I really have a passion for private practice, and especially working with the niches that I've chosen to work with, just to even be even more real. Just last night, so literally less than 12 hours ago, I had two dreams. The first dream was I was traveling with my family, and I could tell very early on that not everything was packed. And we were at the airport, and I was noticing that there were like clothes and shoes kind of outside of the suitcase that obviously should not have been there. And I remember feeling this like overwhelming anxiety that everything was not there that needed to be there. Second dream I had was I'm on some sort of a roller coaster, and we're entering, and there are these beautiful sparkling buildings all around, and I'm in this city, and the roller coaster is in this beautiful city, and it's taking me through the city, and my grandfather is there. This is my maternal grandfather who passed away in 2018, and he played a big role in my life and kind of shaped who I am. And he was a retired teacher who was then got super involved in Sunday school, and then also like did farming and raised honeybees and all of these things. But he was there, and we were going through the city, and the roads through the city that this roller coaster was going on, they were just too narrow. And so the outside edges of the roller coaster were breaking apart. And yet my grandfather was there, and he was just saying like, it's going to be okay. And we entered and we emerged out of the city, and we were fine. And I just thought it's such a weird symbolism that I had these two dreams the night before I record this episode. So I wanted to use the rest of this episode to share some of the insights that I've kind of picked up. You know, with STC, I've had the good fortune to interview now hundreds of successful therapists in private practice, asking them all sorts of questions about how they built their niches and what's been successful. And I've also just had the incredible opportunity to make some wonderful friends because of the podcast. And I thought rather than me just holding back and not sharing it and just employing it for my private practice, why don't I just share it? Because I just think at the end of the day, we're all here to help each other and support each other. So I came up with kind of four themes or four points that I wanted to talk us through. So the very first thing, if you are especially in a season where you are struggling with finding a niche in private practice, or you have an established niche and you're trying to expand into something else and you're feeling this uncertainty, I hope all of this is incredibly helpful for you. So the first point is niches are living and breathing things much in the same way that our small businesses are. I think I always have this tendency to think that once I have found a niche, it's going to be like this forever. And the one thing I learned with STC, especially in the early days of STC, not exactly knowing what my space was with Selling the Couch, knowing that I didn't really want to like become a private practice coach. And it's taken 9 years for me to figure out that my real space is helping therapists go from clinical to online income and impact. And I've taken a lot of that knowledge into this, right? So if niche is a living and breathing thing, it means that it evolves over time. It's not static. And it also just means the areas that I focus on in this season, the people that I work with, the expertise that I have, it doesn't have to stay this way forever. I just have to kind of get started, and then I can get going, and then I can eventually get smart with it as well. In other words, it doesn't mean that I'm planting some sort of proverbial flag in the ground, and this flag will never be able to be uprooted out of the ground. I'm realizing, I wanted to share this, that niches are living and breathing things, because if you're getting started in private practice like I am, you have this real fear of like, oh my gosh, I don't have clients yet. And now if I hone in on one niche, am I like excluding a whole group of people that I could work with because I really need to get clients, right? Or if you're in a season of transition with your private practice, you might be feeling like, oh my gosh, I've established credibility and reputation in this one niche. And now I have this heart and this passion and this feeling, this calling to go into another niche. What am I supposed to do? You know? And so I hope both of that is incredibly helpful for you. By the way, when I think about a niche, I think about helping a specific type of person in a specific type of situation. So by and large, my private practice will be focused on working with founders. So these are founders of companies, founders of small businesses. But even within that, I wanted to niche to a specific person in a specific situation. So I decided to niche a little bit more and work specifically with founders of color, venture-backed founders. So these are founders that are getting venture money from external sources so they can help build their businesses and hire teams and all of that stuff. That comes with its own stressors, opportunities as well, of course. And then the final thing is working with founder dads, you know, who are struggling to manage both working and supporting their growing business while also making sure they prioritize things at home. And so I just wanted to share all of that because I imagine all three of those niches will emerge and will evolve over time. The second point that I wanted to make and wanted to share is when you let your friends and family know that you're going to private practice, they're going to recommend folks that are outside of your niche just because they know that they know you, they know the type of person that you are, they have a gut feel of like, this person might benefit from working with you, all of those kind of things. I wanted to just share about 2.5 weeks ago, just on my private Facebook group or my private Facebook page, I made a post and I talked about, I had just hit 9 years of the Selling the Couch podcast. And I shared this video that Susan had the foresight to record of me submitting the podcast 9 years ago, back in 2015, to Apple iTunes. It was called Apple iTunes. Now it's called Apple Podcasts. And shared the video, and I mentioned one single line in there about, you know, I'm going to be going back to private practice soon, but more on that in a later post. That's all I said in there. I don't know if this is what that post is what's prompted it or whatever happened, but I had a childhood friend who happens to be the president of a hospital reach out to me after that post. I don't know if it was just coincidence. I don't know what it was. It was literally a DM, and then we exchanged text messages. And long and short of it, you know, he advises a lot of nonprofits. And one of these nonprofits works in this, like, it's in a city, it's a very affluent city. A lot of immigrants, a lot of high achieving professionals, and they really needed help navigating parenting, especially with sort of the multiple challenges of parenting when you intersect immigrants, professionals, professional high achievers, and also living in affluent communities, right? Where they're just unique challenges and unique exposures to things, right? And it's not like my main niches that I was thinking private practice are. Again, for founders, right? And there was a moment I was like, oh, it's so interesting. So I told my friend, yeah, of course, I can help and support. And actually, like this past Saturday, so 2 days ago, I had a wonderful opportunity to talk to 67 parents on Zoom for an hour, just talking about kid and teen mental health. You know, I worked at University Counseling Center as part of my practicum. And then both my part of my internship and my postdoc was at Vanderbilt's University Counseling Center. So I was like very much exposed to that space and felt like I could be helpful. And I don't know where all of that will lead, but I'm just sort of feeling incredibly grateful. And just a reminder, right? Like even taking out your phone and just being able to communicate with your loved ones, like this is what you're working and who you're working with, right? Now, obviously, likely won't be able to work with, you know, your friends, right? Because it's just dual relationships, all of that, right? Like, but they likely know people that are not connected to you that they can refer to you. The last two points, I decided to break these up into 2 points, but I wanted to give my friend Raj Lola full credit for these last 2 points. So Raj and his business partner, Ben, they own Fruitful Design, which is a story brand certified agency. So they've literally worked with hundreds of small businesses on their messaging and on their marketing and on their website design. And I was talking to Raj and I was like, Raj, what if I like niche down too much and I'm like working with only founders and, you know, and I attract a lot of tech founders and, you know, what if it's just too niche because like there's a lot of tech layoffs and this and that, and just basically like panicking over, like super scared about, right? And Raj shared, as in the way that Raj has the ability to do, he shared like 2 pieces of just advice, and I wanted to share it here. The first tip was, you know, the private practice website usually exists as a top of funnel kind of marketing, right? It's a way that you have some digital real estate in the in online. And primarily, it's a way for folks who may not know you about your work to get to know you and connect with you, right? The thing that most people forget is that there is this other type of marketing, which is a relational piece, right? There are folks who will refer clients to you because you're friends with them, you've connected with them, they saw you on a talk, they watched a YouTube video, they saw one of your social media posts, something like that, right? Hearing this was super liberating because I think I was putting such pressure on my website and the website content to like attract clients. And I think the reality is it's probably more helpful, especially from a mental health perspective, to look at it a little bit more with a broader lens. The second insight that Raj shared with me, I was, again, struggling with whether I was too niched in working with founders. And he shared something, think about it another way. So 80% of what you're doing is your core market. So you market and you create content for them. So for me, founders, sharing stories of my own founder journey as a founder of color, as a founder dad, all of those kind of things. But all of us should also place small 5 to 10% bets on other areas that we're interested in. So in my case, I imagine that I'll kind of work with a lot of tech founders, right? SaaS founders, online business owners, because that's the stuff that I'm kind of living and breathing with STC, right? But my entire practice shouldn't just be focused on that, right? There are other kind of founders. For example, founders of medical practices, right? Doctors who become doctor entrepreneurs and you know, start private practices or become YouTubers, whatever it is, right? Or like law firm owners, right? Those are technically founders of companies. So I really should be thinking about the small bets that I want to place. I'm not going to put all this pressure on myself to place these bets like starting when I'm starting right now. But as I think about it every year, I should really think about like, what are the small 1 to 2 bets that I want to make this year that expands from my core niche? And one of those things for me is I think one of those will be helping sort of young professional, high achieving Indian Americans, parents navigate raising children, also working with them as well, because as they navigate the many things from caring for parents who have a terminal illness or cancer, or young professional, Indian professionals who are navigating infertility or who are raising kids, they want them to be well-rounded, but the kids are struggling with depression and anxiety because of just sort of the pressure cooker that they're in. And the reason I mentioned this specific example is because when I was on this call on Saturday, and after honestly my conversation with Raj, kept thinking, you know, there's probably a book here and there's probably a cohort-based kind of experience here that I'd love to kind of explore and think about. And so I hope all of this is really helpful if you've been struggling and trying to figure out a niche. So again, the points are niches are living and breathing things. The second point is when you let your family and your friends know that you're in private practice, they're going to attract, they're going to refer folks to you that may be outside of your niche. Point number three is, again, around seeing the website as sort of a top of funnel strategy. But also remember, there's another piece, which is the relational piece when it comes to marketing. And the final point is learning to place these small 5 and 10% small bets every year as a business owner so that you are strategically diversified. So I have been doing something really vulnerable, which is in our weekly newsletter, our email newsletter, I have been sharing and documenting my private practice journey. I literally created a one-page Notion sheet of the things that I'm working on, the tools that I'm using in private practice, the tips and strategies I'm learning, the mistakes that I'm making, all of it, I don't know, for the sake of just being helpful. And to be honest, I am someone, former Mel, right, has often struggled with showing the harder parts of building something. And thing I've been trying to work on over the past couple of years is just sharing openly and honestly and what I call failing forward, because the small business journey and the private practice journey, what I'm realizing is we can share our highlights on social media, or we can share more of a holistic piece, right? Which is, I think, the reality for all of us, because you rarely have, when you're starting a business and you're growing a business, you rarely have moments where everything is always on the upswing. So if you are interested in seeing what I'm building every week, I would love and be incredibly humbled. And if you would join the STC newsletter. That's over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And also finally, let me know if you love these kind of episodes. Again, I have no intent of being a private practice coach, but I just thought, you know, sharing these raw and real kind of stuff would be incredibly helpful. Have a great rest of your day, and I appreciate you for taking the time to tune in. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.